everything from you this morning. As we just stay in this attitude of worship and praise, as you draw us in, Father God, as you remind us of all the things that we have to be thankful for, Lord. We worship you this morning. We praise you and declare that you are good. You are good, Lord. You are good and worthy of all of our praise. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful time. Thank you, Lord, for every chance that we have to come before you in worship. And I thank you, Lord, for the revelation that's unlocked as we enter the throne room of your grace. May that continue to flow. May your revelation, may your love continue to flow from the throne room, touching our lives, opening the heavens. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody having a good time? Yes. I'm aware I have two microphones here. Are there any announcements before we dismiss people into... The kingdom of God is at hand. It has officially been announced, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Lord. 100 hours of prayer is over. You missed it. So we had 100 hours of prayer here starting Sunday night, and it went through till about 11 p.m., I believe, on Thursday night. Awesome time. We had several different churches come in and lead worship. People are pointing. Is there a video or something? There's a video of the 100 hours? Cool. No? No. The announcement video. I don't know. Everybody's telling me something different. So there were people, and I believe there were two groups actually that had never been here before, correct? And just absolutely an amazing time of worship and intercession over the last week. And I believe that the Lord has unlocked some really amazing revelations and some really cool things that he's drawing us into as far as maturing in the areas of worship and intercession. So I'm really excited about everything that that's done. Before I get to the gift of Christmas.
I just had an encounter with the Lord, so I've been laughing and crying up here. So this is... Who he is. What a great morning, eh? Isn't God good? Hey, Tommy. Wow, God is good. 100 hours of prayer and worship was amazing. Thank you, sir. And the group that came the last night was called Span from Talmadge. And actually, Andy, I don't know how fast you can get something up from my cell phone. Is it a quickie or not? Okay. I took a little video clip of them, and I put it on my Facebook page. But anyway, you can come and get this. There's a picture of them playing, and I just wanted to play it real quickly. And also a picture afterwards of the group that was here, and they went up on the stage, and they prayed for all the people. It was just really amazing. I stood back, and I was watching this, and I was thinking, wow, Lord, you're doing something in this. You're just doing something. What is it? But it was really precious, and Andy will have to flip through until he sees that picture, if we can find it quickly. And I just want to praise God, because I know that when we little humans, very tiny little humans, put our little mark on, let's do 100 hours of worship and prayer. It's just kind of fun, because we'll be worshiping and praising the Lord forever, 24/7, right, in heaven. But we have an opportunity to come together corporately, and I really believe there were phenomenal things that happened during that week, and thank you all for coming out and supporting that and making that a priority, because I do believe that when we hear from the Lord, it's not just a little thing we put on the schedule. It's something from our hearts that the Lord is backing and also prompting. It's both. So we come out together as a family And we may not think that our presence and our attitudes and all the things that are important, but they really are. And we come in and not only supporting the worship team, but supporting what God's doing. He's releasing something. So there were several times, many times I'm sure, but several that I was part of that I just really heard and saw that new place in intercession that Lawrence was talking about. And I was just really grateful to the Lord for that. It was phenomenal. So if you can, I don't know if you can find it in there with all the other things, you'll have to back it up. But while he's doing that also, we at the very end, we showed some pictures. We want to show them here because we had a smaller bunch, on Thursday. But we got some pictures from Ghana. So we do want to show those and maybe, yeah, there's the picture. Look at this. Whoops, there was the picture. Where did it go? There, okay. That's the picture of our, whoa. The picture of, it's Michelle in China. No, wait a minute. Now, there was a picture, Justin, that you had of Thursday night. There we go. That's our new friendly friends, I guess, in Talmadge called Span Ministries. And they were phenomenal. I think there were about, it seemed like about 500 people up here, about 9 or 10, but they had, instruments that we don't typically use, and I just really appreciated their heart. And they sang a little different flavor than some have been used to, and I loved it, just absolutely loved it. And the power of God, the presence of God was so strong. And that was an example of what the Lord wants to do in crossing and connecting, really, with other people. And that's our heart. Let's connect with other people. And I see this place as an epicenter. You may think, oh, yeah, really? It's not very big. It's not about the size. God will take care of that. But I see this place as an epicenter of God releasing the kingdom. And with that in mind, also, I just want to make a quick announcement to you. How many of you have ever heard of Heather Clark? Have you ever heard of Heather? If not, look her up. She's amazing. She's kind of like on the par of Misty Edwards. Who's ever heard of Misty Edwards? It may be a familiar song. And so Andy's going to play a little video clip, thanks, Andy, of that as well. Heather Clark will be here New Year's Eve at Frontline. Yeah. So it's a really wonderful thing. We're flying her in from British Columbia. And so bring your family and friends. There's no charge, no cost. And we'll have some kind of luncheon. I'm not sure what that's going to look like yet. And then Sunday night around 7, we're back and forth in emails, leading a session on throne room worship and then going into a night of awesome worship into the new year. It's really going to be phenomenal. So I really believe the Lord wants to release something in Ohio through her coming here. So very, very excited about that for New Year's Eve. So we do have something coming to Frontline Worship. So. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Andy. That's awesome. So we're going to have a short meeting right after church to talk about how to get this word out into northeastern Ohio. So we pray that you guys will be here. And I think this is going to be one of the most packed times we've ever had. So praise the Lord for that. And excuse me, there's also a video for announcement video of what's coming up. Or yes? Okay. Michelle, you went back to China. This is good. Hey, I do have an announcement. Our Ghana team is coming home on Tuesday. And I just heard from Pastor Bill, and he is going to have everyone's going to be here that day, that night. So we're having a time of sharing that night. So please come if you want to hear all the details and everything that happened. Show up Tuesday at 7 o'clock. It's going to be different. So please come. Everybody will be there for sharing, and they'll have videos and pictures and everything else and the detailed testimonies. So please come on Tuesday.
Rick giving Kingdom Bible School attendees a chance to demonstrate the English they learn from the team. Carly teaching on Jehovah Jireh and his abundant provision. Rachel speaking life and healing over a woman with a large mass on her throat. Woman testifying of healing from back pain, which began a year ago when she fell from a tree and a cough. ... Yes. Someone with a J name receiving healing for a knee condition he had for 2 years. Woman testifying of being healed from a stomach pain which she had for several years, even after two surgeries. Decreeing healing for stomach issues for this child. Young man prays to receive Jesus as his Savior and release from disturbing dreams. Two sweet gifts, Gifted and Sarah. Carly couldn't be happier as she shares God's love with these adorable children. Rachel blessing the hardworking hands of an elderly Kingdom Bible School attendee. These fun women and the translator, young man, all prayed to receive Holy Spirit, and all of them received the gift of, I'm assuming, tongues. Rachel and Carly explaining soaking in God's presence to the Kingdom Bible School attendees. Between sessions, the Kingdom Bible School students enjoyed learning English and playing Kofi Says. Thank you, Lawrence, for introducing that game or something. Jordan getting Kingdom Bible School kids involved in teaching the parable of the lost sheep. This man was delivered from a demonic oppression. Whoa!
Those are his chains.
Many people came to watch the Jesus film for children, even some villagers that are not part of Kingdom Bible School. Five more people gave their lives to Jesus after the film. After the movie, Rick and Carly gave a call to renounce witchcraft, juju, and any idols, and to trust Jesus. Wednesday morning, the Kingdom Bible School attendees had the chance to rest in God's presence. This woman had a visitation. This young man on the left was saved and set free from bad dreams. 2 days ago, I'm assuming this is going to be very long. Okay. He's sharing a vision that he had. During soaking, this woman saw Jesus dressed in white garments bring a woman back to life. Rick teaching on the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Rick teaching the story of the Good Samaritan. Even the youngest children are welcome. Rick sharing how the young, well, how they're a treasure to Jesus. Pastor Bill teaching from the account of David and Goliath. Let the little children come to me, Matthew 19:14. There's plenty of food for the group. The prodigal daughter admiring the signet ring given by her loving father after her return from living with the pigs. Pastor Stephen leads the team to explore Frontline Ministries land, keep off or face machete wielding Rachel.
So the live in-person people will be here on Tuesday and they can share more. So praise the Lord. Gift of Christmas.
Okay, my name is Amanda, and I'm helping to get things together for Gift of Christmas. So if you're not familiar with Gift of Christmas, it's an outreach that we do annually at Christmas time to the residents of the Stark County Homeless Shelters. This year, we're hosting the Gift of Christmas on Saturday, December 5th, and basically, in the morning, we come here and we get ready to roll. Then in the early afternoon, we take the residents out Christmas shopping. This is a really fantastic opportunity to show the love of Jesus to people in a really practical way. Many of the people that we interact with from the shelters have had really difficult lives up to this point are going through really difficult times, have experienced a lot of heartache and loneliness and everything you could imagine that might go along with living in a homeless shelter. And so we really want to, you know, just show them the love of Jesus. So we are needing volunteers to accompany our guests Christmas shopping at Kmart on the 5th. So we're looking for volunteers for that. And then after we take them Christmas shopping, we bring them back to the church. We have some various family activities. We have some ministry teaching time for children. And then in the early evening, we serve them a full Christmas dinner with all the trimmings. And then we put on a little mini crusade where we share the gospel message with them. And it's a really fantastic time. So we are also needing volunteers to serve the Christmas dinner and then to be on hand for the gospel message that we share. So we're needing you folks that are here right now, whether you've been coming here for, you know, 10 years or, you know, 10 minutes. If you're available on Saturday, December 5th, we would love for you to join us as a volunteer. We need a lot of volunteers. The other thing that we need is we need you to go out and get your family and your friends and your coworkers and people who you think, you know, this might be a good thing for them to come and join us to volunteer. We need you to recruit them in the next 3 weeks to come here to volunteer with us. So I'm going to pass around a sign-up sheet where you can sign up yourself if you're able to. And then Bethany has created some lovely save the date half slips. And these are so that you can take these to work with you or take them to your mom's house for family dinner or whatever, and to give these to the people that you're inviting to come join us. So go to them, say, hey, we're having this amazing outreach to the residents of the homeless shelters in the area. We need, you know, we're going to take them Christmas shopping and then we're going to serve them dinner. Could you help? If they say yes or maybe or whatever, give them this this save the date so that they remember. And then come back here and sign them up on our volunteer sheet so that we can keep track. Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to. Okay. Well, and then there's also going to be a stack out in the back hallway. We really, really need a lot of volunteers. The more, the better. So who knows? This could be a really great opportunity if you've been thinking about inviting someone to church. This could be a great way to get them involved. We're, you know, in my mind, this could be an outreach to not just the residents of the homeless shelters, but also just an outreach and a way to build relationship with our coworkers and our friends who maybe we haven't had an opportunity in the past to invite them to church. This is, you know, I think that when you say we're going to be serving dinner to the homeless, that's something that could really pull on the, you know, the strings of someone's heart, and you know, they might be like, yeah, I want to come and join you. So I really encourage you to do that. We are also seeking clothing donations for the donation room. Kim Rogers and her family is heading that up. I think we're going to have a video on Tuesday, and there will be more about that. Sure.
You can bring donations here to the church if you can part with your hangers. That would be great. To come with the items of clothing. If you have things that can be hung up, you can actually hang them on the rack in the hallway there, and I'll grab them either Tuesday or the next time that I come through. I challenge you to go into your closets and check things out and maybe even ask the Lord, what would you give that maybe you would still wear? What challenge you that things... somebody at that old, no. But I challenge you to, you know, even choose those things that maybe you would still want to keep to give to these folks. If you do donate, please to have them be clean and ready to go, either in a hanger folded up nicely. And then also the Sunday prior to the gift of Christmas, which is, what's that date? November 5, 4, 3. It's the last, I think it's the last.
November 29th.
November 29th. We would like to invite you to bring a pair or a package of new socks that you would purchase for yourself. So if you're a gentleman like Justin and you would go to buy some tube socks to work out in or whatever, to bring a package of new socks that Sunday. If you're a mom with kids and you can spare the few dollars, bring a pair of socks that you would bring give to your children, a pair of socks for yourself. If you bring a pack of six or nine, we may break them up so that everybody has an opportunity to have a new pair of socks. But this time of year, socks are really important. So that's it. Thanks. I will put a couple bins back in that corner. I don't want to clutter up the doorway. Anything that you bring that needs to be hung, can be hung, you can go ahead and hang there and I'll take care of it. Anything that can't be hung up, I'll put some bins back in the corner, Leslie's way back there, back by Leslie. I'll put some bins back in there and you can lay things in there nice and neat. If you can, I'd prefer you didn't bring a huge garbage bag full of clothing. It makes it very hard on us to go through those kinds of things. So just think, what would you do? What would you want? And those are the kinds of things we want to give. We really do. We don't want it to be a clean out. We want it to be, what can I give that I would still wear, you know? Because those are the kinds of things that will bless people, you know. I challenge you to sacrifice, because that's the heart, you know, that's behind this is giving of ourselves right down into our closets. So thanks.
You know, and if you've ever felt like trapped in the morning as a lady when you're getting ready for work and you're like, I just have so many clothes, this is your opportunity for freedom. So hallelujah. Okay, and the one other thing, we are still seeking financial donations. So if you've asked your employer for a financial donation, please follow up with that this week. Or if the Lord puts it on your heart to make a financial contribution, that would be really fantastic. Or if you have family members who maybe can't come on Saturday the 5th, but you think that this, you know, this is something that they would contribute to, that would be really fantastic. We're also still seeking food donations. Right now we're short on chicken, so we're needing donations of chicken. So if you know someone who owns a restaurant, or I don't know, but we're needing about 100 servings of chicken still, and we're also still needing desserts. So those are the things this week that I'm going to be, you know, calling around for, but we've had a bit of a We're still working on getting those. So if you have any connections, please let me know. We'd love to get that all together this week.
Amen. Anything else? Okay. 12:15. Thank you all for coming. You have a wonderful evening. I want to say thank you for coming out today. Kingdom Kids, you're released. Get out of here. Thank you, Lord. Well, here we are, Sunday afternoon. I'm going to start with a couple things here. It's a good word from Kim about sacrifice. Guess what we're going to talk about today? Sacrifice. Yay. You can hear the excitement in the crowd. Love that topic. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you for everything that we were able to experience, touch, see, hear, taste, smell through worship today, Father. I am so excited about what you want to do, Lord, as you've been piercing my heart with this message and just kind of rattling me up with a couple of things. Father God, I just pray that the anointing would be upon it, Lord, that our our hearts would be positioned to receive everything that you have. Lord, because we want everything from that you have for us today. We want to know what your heart is. We want to experience and encounter the anointing, Father God, for great breakthrough. So, Lord, we just welcome your presence, and I just pray in Jesus' name, that this would be a time of great encounter with you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to see if I can put this behind me. I wanted to open up by reading this. Thank you very much. We'll throw that right there. Thank you. Let me get that behind me. There we go. Get behind me. I wanted to start off by reading this thing. Oh, Lord. Here we go. There are few things in this world of great value obtained without sacrifice. In fact, I would venture to guess there is nothing of value obtained without some level of sacrifice. For the sports enthusiast, there are countless hours of practice and workouts before a game-winning buzzer-beater shot. For the entrepreneur, there are mass hours spent developing, growing, and striving to build a business that impacts the nations and opens the doors to great financial wealth. For the philanthropist, big word. There are countless failed ventures that sculpt and cultivate the foundations that bring true lasting change and impact. Do you guys want me on the... There's a little echo here. Are we all right with that? I think they're fixing it. Hello. Got it? For every medical cure, there are thousands of tests and trials and behind the pill or procedure that eradicates a sickness from an entire generation. And behind every great invention, there is a pile of failed, quote-unquote, prototypes that have cleared the path for the great breakthrough. There are few things of great value without sacrifice because it is the sacrifice that makes it so valuable. And yet there is a king... I can do this. I know I can. And yet there is a king who has no restrictions and is not bound by any earthly rule. He simply spoke a word and created a universe so vast it continues to expand far beyond any human's ability to lay eyes on its end. He has freely and unreservedly given such a great sacrifice that it defeated death itself in order to obtain a prize so valuable. He sealed it with his son's blood so as to never lose it. What will your life look like the day you realize that true value is measured by the sacrifice made to obtain it? And as such, there is nothing more valuable, precious, and cared for in all this universe than you. That wasn't supposed to be that difficult to start. So the Lord's been speaking to me a lot about the power of sacrifice and what that looks like in our own life. And what does it look like to carry that in a way? This is a little too echoey for me, so I'm just going to jump over here if you guys don't mind. Hello? There we go. Oh. So there's something that he's been speaking to my heart a lot about that I'm going to kind of parlay from some of the things that I've been teaching on the Thursday night working in the presence class. And I believe that he wants to take us into a place where we begin to understand and embrace what a sacrifice looks like so that we can experience an area of breakthrough that I believe that he's called us all to step into. And he's been speaking to my heart a lot about what it looks like to endure. And how do we have a life that was created for endurance so that we can finish this race well in a way that gives the King glory, in a way that testifies of his goodness and his power and his strength, where people would look. One of the dreams and passions and things that I've been praying for is that people would look at my life and say that he finished better than when he started. Because so many times we see these people who get caught on fire with the passion and zeal for the Lord who sputter out and who get sidetracked and who have a hard time finishing well. But I believe that the Lord wants to create something inside of us where we're able to step into a place that creates a testimony that allows us to finish better than when we started, that people would look at our life and say he or she grew continuously closer to the Lord as he got closer to eternity. That with every step, with every sacrifice, with every situation that I find myself in, I want people to be able to look at my life and say he's doing it better than he did 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. That there's something in his life that looks and resembles like there's something worth giving praise and worship to. Because so many times we see that there are examples in life where people, they start off so strong and there's this passion and this favor, and then because of circumstances and situations and life and the enemy just start attacking you and beating you down, it becomes this place of just burying it and just trying to get through it. And I believe that the Lord wants to create in us this ability to step into this accelerated process where we draw closer to the Lord with every circumstance and situation that we step into. And what does that look like? It looks like understanding the value that we are to him. You know, I love this thing that I just read, because, you know, when we talk about sacrifice, we tend to think about the sacrifice that I have to make in order to obtain certain things. And the reality is, if we just flip that perspective and recognize the sacrifice that he made for me, the things that he was willing to do in order to have me close to him, then everything else changes how you approach it. Your attitude, your mentality, and everything that we go through, it shifts into this place where all of a sudden you're no longer worried about what you have to do to get there, but you're focused on the sacrifice that he made so that you can walk through that process. I want to start in Matthew 13. I think that's one of the first verses we've got up there today. Excuse the lozenger. I want to keep my voice melodic for those listening at home. Matthew 13:44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." You know, I'm beginning to appreciate the value of sacrifice made in order to obtain a goal. You know, I'm in no way saying I've arrived in any way, but I'm in the middle of this process with the Lord. And as I was praying the other day, I realized suddenly that or maybe I was just reminded, because I think I've shared this before, but I'm 34 years old, and I came to know the Lord when I was 15, which means I have spent the majority of my life on this earth knowing Jesus. And the privilege that is to be able to say that I have now known Jesus for the majority of my time. And then he started to speak to me about what it'll look like when I will have spent twice as much time on this earth knowing him than when I didn't know him. And what that looks like, and how can you walk that through in a way that demonstrates his goodness and his provision and his love. Everything in my life should reflect the Father's goodness. You know, whether I'm living in great provision or I'm living in a place of contending for something, my life needs to reflect that there is a good God that I love and serve and abide with, that I can carry joy and peace through all of those processes. And what does that look like? That looks like me being willing to joyfully sacrifice what I have to obtain something that I never deserved. You know, you look at this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden. And from the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You know, the Lord made this amazing sacrifice at the cross for me, because he sees something in me that honestly, many days I don't see. And yet, because he's the creator and he's the one that put those treasures and those riches inside of me, he's able to call them forth and he's able to continue to breathe new life into me. And I want to be able to be a person that lives like that, not only for myself, but that is able to breathe life into those things, into the people around me. I should be able to look at every single person here and see the great value that the King has for you. I should be able to look at every person that I walk by and see the treasure that God created them to be. I should be able to walk around with joy and peace. And I'm not saying that because my circumstances are good, but I should be able to carry joy and peace in a way that releases it into other people's lives. That I can be that encouragement, that I can be that person that demonstrates the joy of the Lord working effectively in someone's life. Do you guys realize how contagious attitude is? Okay, we're awake. Good or bad? I mean, if we're being real here for a moment, and then I'll get back to pie in the sky stuff. Bad attitudes are extremely contagious. And I know from experience, because I've had a bad attitude at times, and it has affected other people. I'm not saying my wife's ever had a bad attitude. Not Cynthia. But I had it, and it affected some things. And at the same time, when you carry joy into an atmosphere where there is a bad attitude or where there is all this negative junk swirling around, you can just as easily shift it in the right direction. But what does that look like? That looks like a sacrifice of praise. Have any of you guys ever walked into the church and not just felt like worshiping? Am I the only one? Couple worship leaders raise their hand. That's cool. They're the only honest ones here. Good for you guys. You know, there are times when the Lord calls us to battle through things, where he calls us to recognize who we are, what he created us for, and to step into that place. You know, that's what was on my heart that I shared this morning, is that when we're worshiping and praising God, it's never about what's going on around me. Yes, the Lord calls us to intercede from that place at times and to be able to speak truth. But praise and worship to the King of Kings goes to him because of his worthiness, because of his goodness. And his goodness and his worthiness doesn't change from day to day. It's not shifting. It's not moving. So what do I need to do? I need to bring a sacrifice of praise. I need to bring to that place that understanding. And I can speak from my own experience, and I'm sure some of you guys have had this, is that those times when you've made up in your mind that you're going to worship the Lord despite the fact that you don't necessarily feel like doing it, those are the moments where I come in like the highest praise. Like accelerated, over the top, through the roof, I'm running through heaven type of praise and worship. Those are the moments that usually start off with kind of a, okay, not really feeling it today. I don't really like this song. We've done it 30 times this morning. But when you make up your mind that it's not about the song, it's not about what's going on in my heart, it's not, but recognizing that it is for the King, that it is unto him, it is because it is due his name. Those are the moments where I begin to feel and sense a presence and of an attitude of breakthrough. And then all of a sudden, you're no longer contending and just trying to get through it, but you're encountering the King of Kings. I love being able to praise him from that place where it's a battle to get there, and the moment you step in and engage the Lord, you've unlocked something, you've unlocked a truth, you've demonstrated in the spirit that you're willing to battle and stand and contend for something great and powerful and amazing, and you know that it's your portion. I think that that's one of the greatest things about the power of worship, is that it recognizes who he is and who I am as a son, as a daughter. Who you are. I'm not a daughter. I'm the son. But we were created to be able to step into those places where we give him worship and praise. And that's, it's in those sacrifices where we find the greatest value. You know, I was thinking of just a fun story about, and that would give a good example. I turned 34 in September, and I was at work, and at the end of the day, I was in a meeting, for those of you who think I only golf. And I got a text from Cynthia, my wife, and it was a riddle. And I don't know what that was all about. We've never done riddles or anything like that. And the text came like with 15, 20 minutes left in the meeting, and it was very distracting. So I'm sitting there trying to pay attention in the meeting and reading this riddle, like, what's going on? And I figured out what she was trying. So basically all the riddle was essentially saying, like, for your birthday, I have a sitter for the kids, and I'm at an undisclosed location. And so I had to figure out where the location was. And naturally, you get something like that in the middle of a meeting that's not really that interesting. And we were going over some 401k procedures, which, you know, only a couple people like that. And I'm not one of them. And so I wrapped up the meeting and ran to my office and pulled up the computer to try and figure out where she was. And I had an idea, and I'm looking up things. So essentially what happened was she had arranged something where she had gotten a sitter. She had rented a hotel room, and we were going to go out to like a nice dinner and just stay out for an evening. And based on the clues, I was looking up. I knew where it was, but I didn't know exactly which hotel it was. So I'm looking at all the options in a certain area, and for some reason, the hotel that she was at wasn't listed on the website that I was looking at, so it got very confusing. And at the same time, was a lot of fun with the challenge. And so I cracked the code, which wasn't, she didn't make it that difficult because it's me. And so I drive to the hotel, and I met her there, and we went out to a nice dinner in Akron. And she started telling me, like, I was having so much fun. Like, it was just such a shock and surprise. And any of you guys that have, you know, two or more kids have experienced that, like, a sudden, like, what do I do here? kind of a moment. And so we went to dinner, and we were sitting there talking over dinner, and she started telling me about this process that she had gone through for planning this, because she had had fun, but there, as any surprise goes, there's tend to be some random things that get mixed up. So she went through this process of, like, she was going to meet me at the office and surprise me, but then I had a meeting that got postponed and pushed later into the day, and then there was question about whether it was going to happen, and then it ended up happening, and then it went longer than expected. And all this time, I'm texting her about kind of where I'm at throughout the day, and she's already at the hotel, like she was going to, and I was like, I'm going to go for a run before, because I don't know what's happening, you know, initially. So I'm like, I'm going to go for a run before I leave the office and all that stuff. And then, so she's like constantly going back and forth of like, okay, I'm going to meet him there. Well, now I can't meet him there. And then the plans change. And then I am going to meet him there. And then she thought she lost the keys to the van. So somebody had to meet her there. And then at that time she ran out of time. And so she was debating just telling me. And then instead she came up with the riddle. But then she had to go back and get something else, and then, you know, then she was there, and then she had plans to, she wanted for the day to rent me a Jeep Wrangler, because I had a Wrangler in college, and I loved it, and so much fun. So she looked into that, and then she's trying to plan that, and the only place to get a Jeep is over here, and then that wouldn't work, because the car would be there, and she knew the Jeep gift would only work if it was a stick shift, and she didn't know how to drive a stick shift, and then so... She was trying to figure out how to meet somebody else there that could meet me there, that could surprise us and go over there. And she's explaining all of this process, and she made like 5 phone calls. And like the only thing she found was in Cleveland with a Jeep Wrangler that had a stick shift that you could rent. And she's trying to figure out how to get down there or up there. And then she's like, well, if I'm up there, I can go over to Lawrence. And there was like this mass chaos of just trying to plan this wonderful, beautiful, simple surprise. And all of a sudden, like, I started to kind of tear up because I realized, like as simple as this seems, like a hotel and a dinner, there was so much that went into it. Like, she put so much time and thought and thinking through this. And just because out of this place of loving me and wanting to bless me, and I'm sitting here in the middle of this restaurant and I'm kind of tearing up a little bit, which is very unusual for me. And I just began to realize like the love that was poured into this moment. And it wasn't because I loved the hotel and the dinner was a beautiful dinner and we went to see a movie, which we don't get to do very often with 4 little kids. Like all that stuff was great and I so appreciated spending time with my wife. But when I heard like everything that she went through in order to put it together, all the time and the effort and all that, once I got over the fear of what am I going to do for her birthday, I started to think about like what an amazing sacrifice that was, because all of this is happening while she's still taking care of 2 to 4 kids, depending on what time of the day and who's in school. And I'm sure there were some random other phone calls because she handles certain things around here for the ministry and there's always something going on. So, like, the fact that she spent that much time into it, like, the gifts I enjoyed, the time with her I enjoyed, but when I heard, like, the time and the sacrifice that went into it, it just took it to a whole nother level. Like, it just started to speak to my heart about the power of what that looked like and how that love was demonstrated through the sacrifices that she made in her time and effort. And through that process, I started to see how love is demonstrated through sacrifice. And so I wanted to look at a couple other scriptures real quick, if I can find it for you, about what I believe the Lord wants us to understand about the areas of sacrifice and how that creates a lifestyle of endurance. But in Isaiah 1, which I believe we have on the PowerPoint, starting in verse 10, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." All this coming from a God that loves you with an everlasting love. You know, we look at that, and I think it's such an amazing picture of the heart of the Father, in the sense of, like, everything that he wants from us is intended to bring us into a place of greater freedom and transformation. You know, sacrifice is only valuable as it leads to transformation. You know, we see in this example of Isaiah where the Lord is basically saying, like, you keep sacrificing to me, but then you keep living this life of sin. And the sacrifice, the whole point of the sacrifice is to cause cleansing and cause transformation and change. Like there's no point in making a sacrifice if it's not going to bring a change, if it's not going to cause something to shift and change in your heart and in your life. So when the Lord calls us to make a sacrifice, it's because there's something that he wants to shift and move in our life. There's something that he wants to either expose and or remove so that we can step into a greater level of freedom. You know, I keep talking about this concept of us making the sacrifice, but I think it was demonstrated so beautifully in the video that we watched last Friday, the Sons of God, where they talked about it. If you think about who God is and what he's done, am I really making a sacrifice? In a way that only Graham Cook can say it, I'd have to be a complete idiot to not want something like that. You know, to recognize that he values me, he speaks and releases joy and peace into my life, that he wants me to experience those great things because of the value that he has for me. But he's looking for a sacrifice of praise from a place that has a heart and a desire to demonstrate, to bring transformation. He wants to release goodness so that we can walk in it, so that we can live in it, so that we can experience transformation, so that we can be a demonstration of light and power unto the whole earth. His desire to bless us is so great and so amazing because of how he cares about us, and he wants his sons and daughters to see what it looks like to be a person who walks with him, who knows him, who carries that favor and that grace and that mercy. Now, does that mean everything around us gets easy? No. It's not going to necessarily change our circumstances. From a place of intercession, we can speak and decree into our circumstances, but the Lord's demonstration of his goodness often comes through a place of sacrificing for something greater. That makes sense? So you know, I have yet to find somewhere in the scripture where people had great breakthrough without contending through something, without having to make a level of sacrifice. You know, every person that we see in Scripture has had to live a life where there was a certain level of sacrifice, but what did they obtain on the other side? Far exceeded anything that they could have expected. So when we step into these places of sacrifice, I'm going to use that word like air quotes, you know, what are we actually sacrificing? As we step into his presence and begin to experience his love and his grace and his mercy towards us, everything else begins to fade away, and we begin to realize that he is worthy of everything. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Which is a far contrast from what we just read in Isaiah. You know, the Lord is pleased with our sacrifice. He's pleased with our praise. He's pleased with our worship. And he wants to demonstrate all of the good things that he wants to bring into his children's lives. It says, through him then, that's Hebrews 13, starting in verse 15, it says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. That the Lord's looking for sons and daughters who are able to enter into his presence continually, who are able to recognize who he is, his sovereignty, his love, the grace that he's shed upon my life, that I'm able to go before the throne room of grace because he paid a price that was so amazing and so overwhelming that nothing would stop me from being able to gain access to him. That each and every person here has complete access to the throne, that has the ability to stand before a king that loves you with an everlasting love, to stand before a God, a Father of such great provision, of such great love for me and for you, that I believe that the Lord wants us to understand the value that he sees in each one of us. Because as we are able to see how much he cares for us, for me, for you, as we're able to see the great value and the great sacrifice that he's placed in being able to have communion and fellowship with you, we begin to step into a greater understanding of what we were created for and who we are as sons and daughters. You know, the concept that's just so difficult for me to grasp and grab onto when I think about this is I get love to a level. I understand the love that he has for me. But the sacrifice that he made, when he's the one that has everything, you know, when you compare it to a natural circumstance, you know, if I'm thinking of like a some type of partnership in business, you think about each party has something to bring to the table. That's what makes the partnership. But when you look at our partnership and our relationship with God, I don't see what I'm bringing to the table. And yet he's the one offering everything. Does that make sense? I mean, he has everything. He's created everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning, the end. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the owner of a cattle on a thousand hills. He's got everything. And he's saying, I want you to have this. I want you to know freedom. I want you to know joy. I want you to know peace. I'm offering all this, and I'm making the sacrifice for you to have it. I'm paying the price. What am I doing at that table? What am I doing with what he's given me? As I stand before the Lord and I see his goodness and his love and his mercy, and I look at it through the lens of the sacrifice that he made in order for me to be able to stand before him, that makes no sense. That makes no sense. There is nothing in my earthly mind that can wrap itself around that concept. I have nothing to bring to the table that he doesn't already have access to. Can't buy my way in. His ability to love far exceeds my abilities. His ability to show grace and mercy far exceeds my abilities. And yet he's continuously pursuing me. Why? His love is so great and so expansive that he continues to pursue a child that only gets it part of the time. And yet in his goodness, he continues to come after my heart. He is so worthy. So I... I believe as the Lord's increasing our capacity to understand this, He's calling us into a lifestyle that demonstrates a heart and a relationship of love that lasts and that is impacting, that changes lives, that changes nations. And I want to maintain an attitude and a mentality of continually giving Him praise in all that I do, of recognizing who He is in my life and what He's done. And through that process, I want to finish well. I want to finish in a way that speaks to His goodness and His love. I want to finish in a way, and I'm not going anywhere. I got years. This isn't a farewell speech. Decades. Decades. I'm not going anywhere. But I want to increase. I want to see the Lord moving. What? This last line, I love it. It says, what will your life look like the day you realize that true value is measured by the sacrifice made to obtain it? And as such, there's nothing more valuable, precious, and cared for in all this universe than you. That's how He views me. That there's nothing more precious or valuable than me. That's a really weird feeling. Because we could get kind of arrogant about it. But then when you look about where it's coming from, it's really hard to get arrogant about something like that. That you've been given, that you've never earned. You know, it's interesting, and I feel, I'll speak for myself, because it's the only person I can speak for right now, but I'm in this, like, really interesting, fun, weird place, if that makes sense. And I feel like there's been a lot of things lately that we are seeing incredible breakthrough here as a part of this ministry. Awesome testimonies, incredible encounters, and we're starting to step into some things like we've never seen before. I mean, just one practical example is on the media side, with the second or with the first official album being released, and through that process, it's opened a door, you know, for us to start, you know, a publishing. I'm going to call it an enterprise as the Lord expands that. But through that process, there have been things that the Lord has caused me to look at in my life, in things that I do in ministry, and not from a bad way, but to just to kind of take those things deeper, in a sense of understanding, why am I doing things the way I'm doing it? What am I doing? You know, and taking that before the Lord, and through that process, you can head down a path that goes one of two ways. And I believe that this is something that the Lord wants to just kind of release over the body as a whole. You can be, as you begin that journey with the Lord and taking things deeper, you can go one way where you become very critical of everything. And you start to analyze and you start to critique and you start to look at things. And then all of a sudden you've opened the door for offense. You've opened the door for judgment. And you've opened the door for destruction to come and knock you out. And yet there's another path where, as I go on that journey with the Lord and I begin to seek His face and go deeper into some of the processes that are surrounding my life, as I stay in an attitude of praise to Him, and recognize the way that he has blessed me, the way that he has spoken to my life, and the freedom that he has brought to my life, I become strengthened and empowered to be able to walk into this new season where I'm not judging, I'm not critical, and yet I'm seeking his face for what the next step is and how to improve and how to go deeper and how to create lasting change and effect in my life and in the ministry of the things that I'm involved in, either here or at work or in my family or in any aspect. But it's only through that sacrifice of praise. In Hebrews, where it says, let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. As I continue just to lift up in an attitude of thankfulness and praise to him, the people that I'm surrounded by, and giving praise and glory and thanks for all the things that are in my life, I can stay in this course where my heart is steadfast before the Lord. And I'm no longer getting swept aside in places of judgment or criticism. But through an attitude of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, I can continually go before him and take those things that are in my life that he wants to adjust and correct and change. And not get knocked out like, oh my goodness, the Lord thinks I'm horrible and I'm bad because he's pointing this out to me and everything's falling apart and everything that I thought I was doing correct, I'm doing wrong. And then all of a sudden you're out there like this kind of wandering around, wondering what happened in the last 10 years of your life. That's not what he's doing. That's not what he's doing to me. I don't know what's going on in your guys' hearts, but that's not the Father's heart. But as we stay in that place of praise and worship to him and lifting him up, it opens the door for him to take things deeper, take revelation deeper, and we have to be willing to go deeper. We have to be willing to make sense. There we go. Oh. What was I saying? I was going to sing a song. In my heart, unto the Lord. I shared this verse on Thursday night, and I just want to go back to it I'll finish here. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, which I don't think I put up there, but I could be wrong. It says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. You know, what does it look like to bring a sacrifice? What does it look like to make a sacrifice? The thing I love about this verse is that it encourages us not only for the sake of doing good, but what does everlasting endurance look like? It looks like not growing weary, not getting lost in the battle. Sometimes that's the victory of staying in the fight, staying in the game, of carrying something through to fruition. He's saying, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. How many of you guys were a part of the Sunday school, VBS, what do we call it? Summer celebration, thank you. What was the thing that all the kids yelled when they heard the special word? What was it? Hold on. That has been ringing through my ears since summer celebration because my kids still say it. And yet this morning, yesterday, and a couple days before that, I started hearing it echoing in my heart. Hold on. Hold on. There are promises that he's given us. There are promises that we don't even know of yet that we can only obtain if we hold on. He's encouraging us to hold on. Hold on to his promises. Hold on to his truth. Hold on to his goodness. Hold on to those things that he's released into your life. I don't care what your natural circumstances look like. I don't care if you were given a word and you feel like you've done nothing but fall backwards from that word since you've received it. Hold on. Hold on, because there will be a breakthrough as you continue to be obedient in holding on to the promises of God. I want to end with, that was the last scripture. I want to end with this picture. I wasn't sure if I really wanted to share it yet because I think the Lord wants to develop it more, but we'll just start here. I'm a somewhat of a sports enthusiast, mostly because I like watching people do the things that I cannot do. And there's something that he's been speaking to my heart the last 24 or 48 hours. And I keep having this picture of a batter up to the plate. And, you know, in this picture, I understand the circumstances. It's you know, bottom of the ninth, down by two with two people on base. And, you know, it's a full count. If you don't understand what that means, basically, you got one pitch left. And in this picture, I see two different scenarios happening. And what the Lord is saying, he's basically saying, I keep hearing the words like 2 inches, 2 inches. And in the first scenario, I see this person take a swing at the ball that comes across the plate and misses it. Strikeout, game over. And in the other scenario, I see the same pitch go over the plate and the guy swings as hard as he can, just like in the first picture, and he hits it right out of the park. It's a home run, game's over. 2 inches. That's the difference between knocking it out of the park and completely missing it. And what the Lord's been speaking to my heart is that we have to be willing to step out and take the swing. We have to trust him, and there are times when we're going to miss it, but there's going to be times when we knock it out of the park. We have to be willing to trust him and swing as hard as we can. We go down that path that he's led us to, and there will be moments where we're off by 2 inches and we miss the mark. But if we're not willing to swing at those times where we miss it by 2 inches, we're never going to get it right. We're never going to have that. If we're not willing to swing, we'll never have that moment where we knock it out of the park. We're this close to a breakthrough. And he's just saying, swing, swing. Take the risk. Be willing to look like a fool for the Lord. And you can knock it out of the park. 2 inches is all the difference. There are so many things that the Lord wants to be able to release into your life. And he's saying, hold on. It's coming. Hold on. Come before me with a sacrifice of praise and hold on to those promises, and you will see your life blessed, and you will finish the race that you were intended to finish well, and you will be a demonstration of his goodness and of his love. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you guys stand? I just want to pray and release that over each person here. The strength, the ability to hold on, to recognize the opportunity that you have to come before him with a sacrifice of praise. In those moments where you don't feel like it, in those moments where you feel like everything around you is falling apart, he calls you to hold on and bring before him a sacrifice of praise and worship. Not for the sake of your circumstances, but for the sake of the King who is worthy of all praise and all glory. Hold on. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give us each the strength to hold on. Father, to hold on to those promises, to recognize every opportunity we have to come before you and make a sacrifice of praise. Father, this morning we declare that we will hold on to those promises, that we will hold on to your truth. And Father, that each person here would be in a place where they would swing as hard as they can the moment they see that ball cross the plate, Father. 2 inches. You are on the precipice. You are right on the edge of seeing something great and phenomenal happen. Hold on. Lord, that we would hold on. That you, Father, are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. And Father, that each person here would be strengthened by your promise, that you would breathe new life into those things, and that people would experience your grace and mercy and extravagant love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hold on. Hold on. There, they got the word. Oh, we have some Ghana video pictures. Okay. We're going to show some Ghana pictures. Hot off the presses, I believe. Yep. Well, the students are, so, or the kids are. Okay. Are we reading this? Friday morning soaking testimonies. Many came forward boldly sharing what God has shown them. Had showed them. Pastor Stephen, right? Sharing what God has revealed during his soaking experience. Rachel teaching on being filled with the Holy Spirit. KBS attendees are filled with joy as they drink him in. The crowd responding to Jordan's invitation to receive prayer for healing after showing the Jesus film Thursday evening. Many received healing in their bodies, and many were freed from demonic torment. Thank you, Lord. Huh. Wonder what this is. Kingdom Bible School students soaking each morning and receiving from Jesus before the session begin. Kids having fun swinging on the tire swing Rick made for them. Rick teaching on the power we walk in as we kick the enemy in the teeth. Ho-ho! Kid respond to kicking the enemy in the teeth. Wow. During the final session of KBS, Pastor Bill encourages the crowd to go to their friends, neighbors, and villages to share the good news of Jesus. Carly writes out names on KBS graduation certificates. This young man received Jesus at the beginning of KBS. He is full of the joy of Jesus and happy to have completed Kingdom Bible School. Amen. This woman is beaming as she receives her certificate after KBS. Kingdom Bible School. Pastor Bill signs certificate at the end of Kingdom Bible School. Ministry on the streets of Amasaman. Oh! Saturday evening. This man received prayer to be free from pain in his foot and leg. After prayer, we encouraged him to walk, and he reported no more pain. Thank you, Jesus, for his healing testimony. Amen. This young man asked for prayer to be strong in his walk with the Lord. During street ministry, a team gets a chance to take a photo by the sign leading to Pastor Samuel's church, Life Christian Center International. Rick and Jordan discover a one-stop shop for haircuts and building plans. Wow. Only in Ghana. Sunday morning church services at Life Christian Center with Pastor Dan and Mama Helen. There is freedom for Christodia to join the choir during the worship time. That is awesome. What? Guys, what's going on with Papa Bill there? Looking good. Pastor Samuel introduces Pastor Bill and reminiscing of how they met and how they connected in ministry for Jesus. I hope he brings that back. I like that. Pastor Bill shares a message on the dunamis, dynamite power within us. Dunamis. Pastor Dan prays over the team at the end of LCC service. Look how they decked out the church for our visit. Ghana. Taking a bow here. Bless you guys. Any other time? Oh.